Blog Talk Radio.
Is there anything too hard for God?
let go, and let him have his way. Hey, man, I'm your host tonight, Bishop Thurman A. Butler of Under the Spirit of Truth Ministries. Hey, man, located at 1921 Darbytown Road, Henrico, Virginia. I want to thank all the champions for being back on the line once again. Hey, man, to God be the glory. If you're a first-time listener, we thank you for engaging. Hey, man, and your representation, to God be the glory. We thank God for the MCI Blog Talk Radio owners and listeners. Hey, man, amen, amen. We thank God, amen, that you're here tonight. I'm not going to prolong the protocol and introduction tonight, but I will go right into the Word of God tonight. Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, the Lord is putting the Word inside of his people. He's been pressing upon me to teach. So therefore tonight, I'm going to be in the gift of the teacher tonight. And I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles, very familiar chapter, chapter 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Amen, amen. We won't be traveling much. I don't believe in scripture. Let the Holy Spirit place it on my mind. But if you're writing down the scriptures, you might just want to have a subtext as the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Shall we go into the Word of God? And we thank you tonight, Father God. Open up the eyes and the ears and the hearts of your people. Let your word fall on good ground. Hallelujah. That it might bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. That's worthy of repentance and fruit worthy for the kingdom. We thank you tonight. Bless us and we'll be blessed. Keep us and we'll be kept. Have your way as you would only desire in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to begin at the very first verse. Amen? Amen, amen. The Bible declares that the fire came. My God, my God. The fire came down from heaven. My God, my God. That lets us know that God is in control. That God cares. That he's always preparing a way. Amen. He'll prepare a way for you in the desert. He'll prepare a way in the wilderness. When God prepares a way, he's thinking about the situation that he's sending the anointed capable, hallelujah, capable to give us victory, capable to give his glory. Capable, amen, that we would know, amen, that all power belongs to him in heaven and earth. He'll do what he has to do. In this particular situation in the book of Chronicles, amen, the fire came down from heaven. And I declare today that we need the fire. Amen. We need the fire to fall. Amen. We need the fire of God to fall down from heaven, amen, in our situation. Amen. Well, the fire, we know, represents a cleansing material. It's a cleansing agent. The fire is not only a cleansing, but it's also, glory to God, it's a vessel of power. It is a form of God's judgment. It's a form of God's authority. The fire not only cleanses and burns out purity in his people, but the fire can also destroy his enemy. Somebody hear me tonight. You may need your enemy destroyed. Your enemy is your any situation that comes up to hinder the production of the will of God. And there may be something in your life that's hindering the will of God, and you need God to send down the fire. You've tried hard. You've tried wisdom. You've tried knowledge. Come on, somebody. You've tried to work it out in your own way. You try to rub shoulders with people. Come on, somebody. You try to put yourself in the presence of certain situations, and it still is not being taken care of. You're still not finding victory. Well, I declare and decree today, if you would ask God to send the fire down, it will consume that situation. Amen. So how do we get the fire to fall? One might ask. If you turn back to verse 1, you'll see that the fire fell from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. God's fire will deal with anything. And if it's a sacrifice you place before him, it will receive or consume or embrace your prayer. It will embrace your petition. It will embrace your supplication. It will embrace your intercession. Whatever you place before God in prayer, when the fire comes, halabasiha, it comes to consume fully what you're bringing before God. Well, in this particular situation, Solomon prayed. See? When he made an end of praying, the fire fell. That's why the enemy don't want you to pray. He wants you to go to church. He wants you to shout. He wants you to sing. He might even declare and allow, well, not that he can stop, but he doesn't mind as much, because he does mind. You read in the Bible. Oh, he minds, but he'd rather you read the Bible and not pray than you read the Bible and pray. Prayer is a form of submission. Prayer is a form of humility. Prayer is a form of letting go of your life and seeking the life and the will of God the Father. So when you pray, glory be to God, you are submitting yourself to God. And if I may just add in, that prayer is the most intimate form of fellowship. He seeketh such to worship him. He wants you to worship in fellowship, worship in spirit, worship in truth. And it comes when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due time. You cannot say you're humbling yourself to God when you won't get on your knees. You cannot say that you're humbling yourself to God when you won't lay prostrate before him. You cannot say that you're humbling yourself before God when you won't seek his face through prayer. The Bible declares Solomon prayed, and the fire fell from heaven. Good God Almighty, there was a connection. And you can never pray and God not answer your prayer. Some of us just don't receive the answer. But if you pray and the fire fall to consume your sacrifice, surely the Lord will answer your prayer. The Bible declares at the end of verse 1 that it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And the glory of the Lord fill the house. You want to see the presence of God? Get a church that pray. Oh, come on, somebody. Get a church that seek God together. Get a church that comes together every morning. Good God Almighty, seek the face of God. Call on him, hallelujah, while he's near. The fire will fall, and the glory will fill the house. We hear a lot of people talking about how too much flesh in the church. It's too much mess in the church. Too much going on in the church. Well, glory to God, if there's a lot of mess in your atmosphere, and I'm not just saying the church, because the church should be your home as well. And if there's a bunch of mess in your life, a bunch of confusion, glory to God, in your home, glory to God, then there's been no prayer. There's been no prayer. Because when there's prayer, there's fire. And when there's fire, the atmosphere is consumed. And when the atmosphere is consumed, the glory falls. Somebody ought to say amen in their heart. The glory filled the house. I'm going to move on from verse 1, but I want to say this before I move on. Glory to God, if you allow the fire to fall in your heart, glory be to God, it will consume your whole body. When the glory comes, it consumes and it fills the whole house. On the day of Pentecost, they was all gathered together in one accord with one place, and one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. And you know what it did? It filled the whole house where they were sitting. God's fire and glory can never fall and not fulfill or fill the whole house. You still got space to be you. You still got room for your own way of thinking. You still got your own feelings. You still got your own emotion. You need the fire to fall. And you need it to fill the house up. That means there's too much flesh still alive. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's move to verse 2. To God be the glory. The Bible says that the priest could not enter into the house because of the glory of the Lord had filled the house. What he's trying to let us understand, whatever leadership you are under, whatever leadership is dictating the protocol of God, we must move out of the way, Pastor. We have to move out of the way, Apostle. We have to move out of the way, Bishop. We have to get out of God's way. Come on, and especially when he wants to fill the house. The Bible declared that the priest could not even enter because of the glory that had fell upon the house. So to God be the glory. When we give way to the Spirit of God, when we stop preaching what we want to preach, teaching what we want to teach, entertaining, cracking jokes in the pulpit, talking about glory be to God, current events and anything else, rather than asking the glory to fall, then we position ourselves for God to move. Once we move out of the way and the glory has fell, you'll see the change in the people. You'll see the change, glory to God, and their desire to seek God. You'll see them, glory be to God, embracing the presence of God. You'll see, glory to God, the members of your church crying out for God even the more. If the priest acknowledge it's no room for him because God has filled the place. And when he gets in line, the children of Israel got in line. Verse 3 said that they saw how the fire came down. They saw the glory of the Lord come on upon the house. And know what they did? They bowed themselves. They got in line with the Spirit of the living God. They came, hallelujah, in accord with the power and the glory of God. They bowed themselves to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshiped. People are not worshiping, Pastor. They're not bringing a person to for glory be to God from the place they came, hallelujah, to the place of worship, to the desire of wanting to be delivered, come on, from the desire of seeking to be set free, then maybe the fire needs to fall again. They recognize God. They recognize the glory. They seen the fire. And they said, blessed be God. Praise the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endure forever. It goes down, if anybody understands Old Testament protocol, it was prophet, priest, and king. God's done all of those offices for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of everybody in that dispensation. God moved upon the priest, and now the king understood the flow. We cannot continue to have one man dictatorship in the church. We need the fivefold ministry in operation. Come on, somebody. We need the nine gifts of the Spirit in operation. We have to have the nine fruit of the Spirit manifesting. Glory be to God. We need to read God's word and pray and watch the fire fall. And let the glory fill the house. When the people seen it, they submitted to it. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. And King Solomon offered the sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. Come on, somebody. And the king and all the people dedicated it to the house of God. See, the problem is we have leaders asking people to dedicate their money and not their life. But God doesn't need your money without your life. And he doesn't need your life and refuses to give your money. For where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. Where your heart is where your treasure is. So you lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth, where rust does corrupt, and moths break through, thieves break through and steal. See, all those things happen on earth. Moths eat it up. Time and rust corrupted are either a thief, the devil, stealing. We have to come under the presence of God so the thief that comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy can stop taking your treasures that God wants to give. But we won't sacrifice. We won't humble ourselves. Let's move on, and we're going to see how God dealt with them. As we get to the end of this chapter, I want you to pay close attention. So when we get to verse 13, 14, very highly misunderstood. We got a lot of people quoting what they heard from the time they stepped in church. But today, if God permit, time-wise, according to our clock, I'm going to try to express that, but I don't want you to lose content. I'm saying this now because I don't want you to lose the content of the writer. We cannot keep being one scripture quoters and making a whole doctrine out of one scripture, not understanding it, taking it out of content. So I say this, we're approaching a very sincere, intimate promise that we've been teaching it as though it's a rebuke. And it's not a rebuke at all. It's God expressing himself, his love, his power and authority. Let us work our way down to there. Amen. And the priests waited on their sacrifice, meaning that they were not led by emotions, intellect, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. They did not take the sacrifice of the people and make their own decisions. Come on, I'm listening to the whole body, leaders and laymen. They understood that the laymen humbled themselves, sacrificed to God. If the body could ever get that, then we would go house to house. None would be lacking. We will strengthen the feeble knees. Y'all ain't talking back yet. Glory be to God. We'll help those destitute. Glory to God. We'll help the widow. We'll go out and do the work. If we wait on the directions of the Spirit. When the priest seen that the people yielded themselves, they waited on their in their offices, on their offices, on the offerings, on the things they didn't get out of line. The people humbled themselves to God, and they refused to operate out of office. I'm talking to you tonight, leader. Are you operating in the office? Or do you think you got a special authority? For I know I'm in trouble with some people, maybe even some leaders, to God be the glory. But we're all in trouble if somebody don't speak truth. Are you operating outside your office, prophetess? Are you operating outside your office, prophet? Are you operating outside your office, apostle? Are you operating outside your office, teacher? Are you operating outside your office, pastor? God has, glory be to God, order. Things have to come in decency and in order, and the fire will burn out every impurity of the office. They waited, or they worked, they did in the office. The Levites only did the operation of the priest. Why are you saying that, Bishop? For the Bible says that sometimes people do good things, but it's not obedient to God. You're operating out of the office. Sometimes we get in our mind and we want to be so big, we want to do everything. Yes, it's a good thing that you're willing to do everything, but did God put you in office to do everything? Or did God just put you in office to pray? Did God just put you in office to win souls? Huh? Something's done. Yes, it's more than one. The Bible says, desire earnestly the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. So we're not saying only one thing you can do, but what I'm saying is don't try to do what you're not called to do. As I was saying, obedience is better than sacrifice, declares the word of God. And if you're a king, you can't operate like the priest. We see that with King Saul. He operated out of his own mind. And the prophet came and told him, what are you doing? Doing my job. He said, well, I did a good thing. And the prophet said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So they only operated in their office, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which this was David, the king, made to praise the Lord. I want to let somebody know, you got to praise him with whatever's available. Some people is waiting for this to praise him. Well, I'm waiting to get a keyboard player to praise him. I'm waiting for more people to get here to praise him. Come on, somebody. I'm waiting for a set time to praise him. I'm waiting for a certain preacher to come to praise him. I want to let you know, you got to praise him with what you have already. They took what they had, and they began to praise the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. So as everybody did their part in ministry, when the priest sounded the trumpet before them, all of them stood. The fire will take you from off your knees and lay in prostrate to a place you can stand. Glory be to God. That's total deliverance. Some of us can't stand and can't walk because we're not praying. If you pray and let the fire raise you up, you'll be able to stand where God placed you. You'll be able to stand and come on somebody. Uh-huh. Even in the day of attack, you'll stand. No matter what you go through, you'll stand. And having done all to stand, you'll stand, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Come on, you'll stand having the whole armor of God on. How about CA? Because you let the fire do it. And you're staying in your office. You're standing before God. And you're praying to a God you have faith in. And no matter what it looks like, you're standing because it was time. When the priest sounds the trumpet, that means it's time to stand. When the horn blow, are you ready to go? You know the next trumpet that's going to sound. Uh-huh. When the next trumpet in the spirit sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Mm-hmm. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Come on, somebody. The Lord shall ascend from heaven with a shout, 2 Thessalonians 4:16. He's going to ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel at the trump of God at the trumpet. At the trumpet. He's going to ascend. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Will you be ready? Have the fire fallen in your life? Have the fire cleansed you yet? Have the fire made you humble yourself in the presence of God yet? Because when it falls, it gets you to the place where you stand. The Bible declares, moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle court that was before the house of the Lord. You know what that means? That means he went first. He went before them. You can't expect those that are weak to bear the infirmities of the strong. But they that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Solomon went in, glory be to God, behind the veil, good God Almighty. And he stood, glory be to God, during the sacrifices of his office. He got it right with God, and he came out, and he ministered to the people so that the people can get it right. People of God, they got it right. This is what I'm talking about, staying content, because we're getting up on our scriptural text verse. Keep it in content. He hollowed the middle court. When he came, God showed them how to prepare a place for the people. Can I give you a typology? When Jesus went to the cross, he prepared the middle court for us. See? He prepared it. He laid the foundation and opened up the way. No other foundation can no man lay than that which was laid. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So now you can come with your offering. You can come, Hababasa, with your prayer. You can come with what's tugging at you. You can come with what you're going through. You know why? Because somebody prepared the place for worship. Well, here in this Old Testament dispensation, Solomon hallowed the middle court, meaning that he sanctified it, purified it, prepared it. That was before the house of the Lord. For he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made, watch this, y'all, was not able to receive. It was not able to be received. What Solomon thought was good enough was not able to suffice what it took to connect everybody back with God. The brazen altar. See? It was not able to receive the burnt offering. See? That meant that God, hallelujah, needed more. God needed them to recognize his power, his authority, his presence. And that's what the fire brought. When the people seen it, when they seen that it was all about God and not about nobody else, when they seen, glory be to God, that the house of God was a house of God and not a house of respecter of persons. It wasn't a house of collecting money. It wasn't a house of false dreams and glory be to God and bamboozleness. They recognized, how about CA? This thing was all about God. I say this to say, God was not upset. God wasn't upset with them. They recognized what needed to be done. Verse 8 says, also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him. You know why? They sanctified themselves. Because glory be to God, the leader, the king, he did what was necessary, and the people seen the power of God, they seen the authority of God, they humbled themselves, and they began to see that prayer was the key to the door, and faith unlocks it. Come on, somebody. I want to let somebody know all you need to do is pray. The reason why you're going round and round like the children of Israel, because you're not praying. The reason why things ain't changing, because we're not praying. The reason why the pandemic came, because we're not praying. How about CA? The reason why the canker worm, the palmer worm, The locust is eating everything up and everyone up. There's no prayer. Hallelujah. Well, to God be the glory. After they sacrificed themselves 7 days, they went into a real revival. They went into real service. We have so many church services and revivals and ain't nothing changing. The fire ain't falling. Why would you have a revival that the fire don't fall in? Why don't you have a revival that there's no deliverance? Glory be to God. Is there no balm in Gilead? Then why is not the daughters of Zion healed? Why is not the preachers healed? Why is not the people healed? Have I see ya? Because we're doing it without prayer. And without prayer, there's no fire. Much prayer, much power. A little bit of prayer. Little bit of power. No prayer. You know, no power. When there's prayer, there's fire. They did it for 7 days. And on the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly. And they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And they went before God with a new beginning. Mm-hmm. They went before God on the eighth day with a new mind, a new beginning. I'm getting closer to the scriptural text, but I want to let somebody know today, glory to God. You got to pray till you get a newness. Hallelujah. You got to pray till you get a new heart. Hallelujah. You got to seek God till you get a new mind. You got to call for the fire. Hallelujah. Till you get a new desire. Good God Almighty, Rick James and Tina Marie ain't the first one said we need fire and desire. I want to let you know tonight, if you have a desire, glory to God, he'll send down the fire. Mm-hmm. Somebody don't think I know about Tina and Rick. Uh-huh. Glory be to God. But this is the real fire and desire. But it comes through prayer. Hallelujah. They did it for 7 days, and on the eighth day, they had a new beginning. The fire will give you a brand new start. The fire will give you a brand new desire, brand new mind, a brand new way of living, of talking. To God be the glory. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart. You know why? They was in his presence, in the presence of God. We got to stop sending people away in the condition that they came in. I'm a keep on. Why would you keep somebody day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and they're in the same condition? The people of God went before God for 7 days, and on the eighth day, their condition was changed. You know why it was changed? Because the fire fell. The fire fell because of the prayer. And with the fire, there's deliverance. There's authority. Sometimes you need to just not even sing a song, not even have announcements, not even have praise and worship. We need to come in and just cry out to God so the fire can fall. I know somebody said they don't like that, but that's what's needed. Amen. He sent them away. You know why? Because they were going to continue to pray. They were going to continue to pass, even in their own tent, in their own house, in their own heart. He said, listen, there's been a change. I can release you now. We release people serving. May the Lord watch between me and thee. All these other salutations that we use till we meet again. But you send them away, glory be to God, in worse condition than they were when they came. He sent them away happy and blessed. And you know what they were saying? Oh, come on, somebody. God is good. His mercy endures forever. Because that whole testimony changed because of being under the fire. So thus we come to this infamous quoted scripture that's highly misunderstood. Pray God I make it over to the book of Joel. That's why I gave it to you. Thus Solomon finished. He finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house, he prosperously affected. So now watch. After the job was done, after he did what was in his spirit, God came. If the Lord is not appearing, maybe he's not with what you think is in your spirit. Maybe what you're doing that's in your spirit is not bringing him. See, glory to God. After there was results, and after he finished the house and did everything that he felt in his heart that God was leading him to do, there was an appearance. If God's not coming to you, preacher, if God ain't coming to you, pastor, if God ain't coming to you, prophet, if God ain't appearing to you, apostle, then maybe what you're feeling in your spirit, God ain't with. Because when he finished, what happened? The Lord appeared. Amen? The Lord appeared. You're not getting no appearances in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. Call down the fire. Call it down. He appeared to him by night. And he said, I have heard thy prayer. Meaning he lined up with him. Meaning God's ears and eyes was upon him. I've heard thy prayers. I've seen what you did. I've seen where you're going with this. And I have chosen this place to myself. If we're hearing right and doing right, many are called, but few are chosen. And when he appeared to Solomon by night, he said, I heard your prayers and I chose this place. Meaning God ain't choosing every place, especially if he's not appearing. That's a sure sign that he ain't choosing if he don't appear. How we having church and going on, and God ain't never appearing? No, come on, talk to me. Somebody got to talk to me. When he's satisfied, when things are done according to his will, he makes an appearance with the glory. He said, I've chosen this place for a house of sacrifice. He said, but if I shut up heaven, let there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Listen to me. He's not rebuking Solomon. He's not rebuking the people that just laid before him to a new beginning king. We don't read the whole Bible. We read one verse, something we heard, and look it up. He's not saying, well, if my people is called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. God is not in that spirit speaking to them. He's explaining to them his position of authority. He's ready to tell them, glory be to God, that I got power to deliver. I got power to set free. But I also got power to shut up the rain. Y'all don't hear me. I got power to stop this mess. I got power to speak, hallelujah, into situations. He said, if I shut up heaven, then there be no rain. Or if I command the locust to devour the land. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Don't you know when a locust comes through, he destroys everything in its path. He eats everything edible. So glory be to God. That means, glory to God, when God sends the locust, everything that he don't preserve will be eaten up. You say, well, why would God do that? Oh, he'll do it. He'll do it to get our attention. He'll do it to direct our path. Well, can you show me where he's done it? Glory be to God. That's what I'm talking about. Joel 2:25. He said, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, the cankerworm, come on, my great army, watch, which I sent amongst you. God is in control of everything. And it's not always the enemy that's destroying your crop. Sometimes God is trying to get our attention and saying, it's not so what's in your spirit. If you have your spirit to line up with me, glory to God, I'll make an appearance unto you. He says, put me in my place, because I'm the one that control the ring. I'm the one that control the blessings. I'm the one that control the air, and I'm the one that gives you life, and I take it away. Joel 2 and 24, I have sent amongst you. He says, I'll restore the years in 25. It's 25. I'll restore the years. God saying, I got authority. So let's turn back and close out. Amen. In the time that we have. Now that we see that he's not rebuking the body of Christ, he's trying to inform the body of Christ. And because we don't really look, we take this prescriptive verse out of content. Listen, read it in context. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Or if I send COVID-19 amongst the people. That's all COVID-19 is. It's pestilence. The fire will devour it. The fire is stronger than any 9-15 or whatever mask that is. Glory be to God. I don't care what an N95, 1297, you can put any number you want on it. You need to fire God. I bet you that'll devour it. To God be the glory. If my people, which are called by my name, it's not a rebuke, y'all. He's not rebuking the people of God. Stop reading as though God is mad. Telling as though God is saying, ain't nobody humbling himself, ain't nobody praying. That's not what he's saying. He's giving us the formula. Yes, we know if we humble ourselves. Yes, we know if we pray. Yes, we know if we seek his face. Yes, we know if we turn from our wicked ways. Yes, we know he'll hear from heaven. Yes, we know he'll heal the land. He's not saying it in that metaphor. He's not saying it in that content. This is a promise. This is an unveiling of his authority. And it's a promise. It's a criteria for the believer that if you humble yourself, if you pray, if you seek his face, and if you turn from your own ways, your wicked ways, your qualification, you now qualify for the blessing. He said, then will I hear from heaven. Mm-hmm. That means you got to do that first. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. Heal their land. Can I just teach about 5 minutes? That's a different dispensation. Don't you tell nobody they have to do all of that to get God to move. God said that to Solomon for the children of Israel during that dispensation. How dare you say that then God will hear from heaven when Jesus comes as king. We cannot dictate or direct how God moves, but we cannot say man must do A and B before God do C. It's a whole different time period. He's son Jesus. He says if you humble yourself, let's read it again. Verse 14, Mike. He says, if my people which are called by my name, number one, shall humble themselves and pray. Stop right there, then go to the then. Then will I hear? When ain't nobody praying now, can you make that fit in the dispensation of grace that if you humble yourself and pray, then will I hear? You ain't praying now, and God is hearing. Come on, somebody. Let's go on to the next one and pray. Seek my face. Then will I hear? Some of us ain't studying God. I ain't going to use that word, but I'm from the country. Studying God. No, that means my grandfather did that. I ain't studying you. No, that means ain't thinking about you. Half of us ain't even thinking about God, and he's still here. This is a dispensational promise. It's not a rebuke that we're reading to people today. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Seek my face. No other thing seeking, then will I hear. If you seek my face, then will I hear. If you humble yourself and pray, then will I hear. Come on. Come on. Turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear. Some of us saved, they're more wicked than before. You think God ain't hearing you now because you're wicked? When everybody was wicked. When he sent his son, we was wicked. And he heard. This is the biggest one. I will forgive their sin. So are you telling me, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin? We can't read that to people and turn around and tell them that their sin has already been forgiven. How was their sins forgiven? When you're telling them they got to do all of these criteria things, then will I hear? We're reading it out of content. He was not rebuking them. He was promising them. But they stay in that condition. Applied to today? Yes, everything in the Old Testament was not nailed on the cross. Yes, this still fits a relationship with God, but it's not the prerequisites for him to do. We have to teach the gospel correctly. Forgive their sins and heal the land. Then will he? After what? After we do these things that we ain't doing? What about his grace? What about the mercy of God? What about the love of God? What about the gift of God? Are we going to throw all of that away and go back to an Old Testament scripture and base it upon the only way God going to move? No. But in the same chapter, it's a direction to how to get the fire of God to fall. Hallelujah. How to get the glory and the presence of God in your life. So you have to read line upon line, precept upon precept. Hear a little and bear a little. God is a loving God, and he's moving by his spirit, even though we have fallen short. But I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, reading the word. And if it's in the word, it's undisputed for any of us. Prayer is the key. We have to go back to prayer. You want it? Don't just think you can name it and claim it. In the presence of God, you can. In the presence of your mind. In the presence of your own intellect, you're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But if we do it in the will of God, under the will of God, then we can receive the things of God. I'm going to leave with you today with this scripture. I don't know why it's in my spirit, it's just on my mind. The Bible declares that if we abide in him and his word abide in us, then we shall ask what we will. And it shall be given unto you. That verse that we just read in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 is roadmap, an illustration to the position of your soul to receive. We read the scripture I just quoted, that if we abide in him and his word abide in us, then we will ask what we will, and it shall be given as though he's a genie in a lamp. God is not our personal genie. And a lamp. What they're saying that is, we've had the Spirit of God abide in us. And we stay in his word, the Bible. Then we can ask, watch this, what ye will. You know that what ye will means? What's in your soul. Then you can ask. Then you can come before God. Then you can ask what your will is. Know why? Because the Spirit in reading the word will make your will change. If you're asking for something and you're never getting what you receive, that's because you're not abiding in him and you're not abiding in his word, and your will doesn't qualify. But if he abides in you, if you abide in him and his word is inside of you, your will, so that when you ask what your will is, it'll be given unto you. It's in the Word, and it's undisputed. And Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministry, fighting in your corner to make you a champion in Christ. Hope to see you next week, and I pray that God planted seeds that will germinate and bring forth good fruit in Jesus' name. God bless you. See you next week in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.